Within the last month, we have celebrated the appearance of Advaita Acharya and also the appearance of Lord Nityananda. And it's not long before we will celebrate the appearance of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in this regard, I thought it would be appropriate if I could speak a little about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And today we're going to speak about Lord Chaitanya's travel in southern India. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the renounced order of life at the age of 24, and after taking sannyas, he was tricked by Lord Nityananda Prabhu into returning to Shantipur, which was the home of Advaita Acharya. And there, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met with his mother, Sachimata. Sachimata was broken-hearted to see her son with a shaved head and in saffron cloth in the dress of a renunciate. However, she understood this must be the arrangement of the divine, and she requested her son that please do not go far away to Vrindavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually in the mood of Vrindavan, and he wanted, on taking the renounced order of life, his mood was that he should immediately go to Vrindavan. However, his mother requested him that if you go to Vrindavan, it will be very difficult for me to get news of your activities, because Vrindavan is so far away from Navadvip, from the land of Bengal. So please go and live in Jagannath Puri. Because if you live in Puri, then people are regularly traveling between Bengal and Orissa. And in this way, I will be able to regularly get news of your activities and of your welfare. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted his mother's request, and in this way he set out to go to Jagannath Puri. Accompanying him were Nityananda Prabhu and Chandrasekhar and some other followers. On the way, Lord Nityananda broke the danda rod, the sannyasi danda of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and cast it into a river. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not happy about this. However, Nityananda tried to disguise the fact that he had done it deliberately. He told Lord Chaitanya, he said, actually, you were in ecstasy, and at one point you danced, but you fell. In the course of your dancing activities, you fell, and you fell on the danda and broke it. Actually, Lord Nityananda had broken the danda, and he had broken it into three pieces, indicating that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not actually in need of a danda. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Lord himself, and he does not need to take any of the symbols of the Varnashram. Another point is made that since he broke it into three, he was showing that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not actually an Ekadanda sannyasi, which is the type of danda which is accepted in the line of Shankaracharya, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was actually a Tridandi sannyasi, because he had broken the danda into three pieces. The Vaishnava sannyasis accept Tridandi sannyas. The difference is that the Mayavada sannyasis, Ekadandi sannyas, take sannyas to become one with the Supreme and to renounce the material world. The Vaishnava sannyasis take Tridandi sannyas to utilize body, mind and words in the service of Krishna and to utilize all of this material world in Krishna's service. So this is a distinction. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then, however, told Lord Nityananda that since you have broken my only possession, which was that rod, I'm not happy with you and I don't want to go to Jagannath Puri with all of you. I will go alone. So he said, either you can go ahead or I will go. So they told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you go ahead, we will follow behind. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left and went to Jagannath Puri. Here we can see the temple of Neelachal, Jagannath Puri, temple which is famous. Maharaj Indrajumna had established the worship of Lord Jagannath in Jagannath Puri. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ran to the temple of Lord Jagannath in great ecstasy, in great eagerness to be united with the Lord. Here we see the deities of the temple, Lord Jagannath, along with his brother and sister, Baladev and Subhadra. So, of course, the deity of Lord Jagannath is none different from Lord Sri Krishna. The form of Lord Jagannath is very special to all the devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because the form of Lord Jagannath shows us how much Lord Krishna loves his devotees. In the form of Lord Jagannath, it's a form in which Lord Krishna, as well as his brother and sister, Baladeva and Subhadra, are all three are in ecstasy. And they're in ecstasy thinking about their devotees. The pastime is revealed that Lord Krishna had gone to live in Dwarka along with his queens. And he had brought also his mother Devaki and father Vasudev. And he was living there in Dwarka. However, his wives were hearing that during Lord Krishna's sleep, he would utter the names of different people who they had names which they had never heard and people they did not know. The wives of Lord Krishna were anxious to know about these personalities. They had heard that these were all names of people in Lord Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. Now, the only person who had witnessed the pastimes of Lord Krishna in Vrindavan was Mother Rohini. Rohini is the mother, actually, she had delivered Lord Balaram into this world. Lord Balaram originally appeared in the womb of Devaki and then transferred himself into the womb of Rohini. So Rohini had been sent to the home of Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda in Vrindavan for her well-being and for her protection. Because although she was one of the wives of Vasudev, Vasudev and Devaki were in the prison of Kamsa. So Rohini had taken shelter there in the home of Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. Now Rohini, therefore, had the opportunity to witness Lord Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan. And she was asked to kindly tell all of Krishna's wives about Krishna's Leela in Vrindavan. Rohini agreed to tell them, but she said, I can tell you, but we must be very careful. Because if Lord Krishna will hear me tell such things, such confidential topics, it will cause him so much anxiety. Because in his heart, he is always remembering the love of his Vrindavan devotees. So they arranged, they said, That will not be a problem. We will put a guard on the door so that Lord Krishna will not come into the room. So they asked Subhadra that you should be the guard. So Subhadra came and she was guarding the door and all of Krishna's queens were there. And Rohini was describing Lord Krishna's Leela in Vrindavan to everyone. And as she went on to describe the different pastimes, the atmosphere was very tense and everyone was overwhelmed. Everyone was fully absorbed in thinking about these wonderful pastimes which had taken place in Vrindavan. The problem was that Subhadra, who was guarding the door, she was also totally absorbed in hearing the Leela. And she did not notice that Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna had also come into the room. And they also began to hear all about the Vrindavan Leela. As Rohini began to talk more and more, the ecstasy of Lord Krishna as well as Balaram and Subhadra became very great. Their ecstasy became so great that first their eyes became larger and larger. Just as we see in the deities here, they have very large eyes. And then their arms and legs shrunk into their bodies, hearing all of the Leela of Vrindavan. So this is the ecstasy of Lord Jagannath as well as Baladev and Subhadra. That the devotees of the Lord, they love the Lord, but the Lord loves his devotees even more. And this form of Jagannath shows us how much intense is that love which the Lord has for his devotees. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there and he saw the deities. And when he came to this temple of Puri, Jagannath Puri, then he saw the deities and he just fell unconscious. He collapsed. Okay. This is the Rath Yatra festival, of course, but wait. Anyway, when he saw the deities and he collapsed on the floor, and the people taking care of the temple, then they came with sticks and they were going to beat him. They thought, who is this person creating some disturbance? Why is he fall on the floor like this? And they came with sticks to beat him. But fortunately, one of the very senior persons involved in the affairs of the temple was there and he protected Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had noticed that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the dress of a sannyasi, although he was a young man. And he had noticed his special features, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very tall in size and he had very, very attractive features, surprisingly attractive. Everyone just seeing him would notice him and they would be attracted by his form. His physical form appearance was so overwhelming. So this personality was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the pandit of the king of Puri at that time. The king of Puri was Maharaj Prataparudra. Yeah, Maharaj Prataparudra was the king and his pandit was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya went to examine the body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, seeing that he had fallen on the floor, and he found him to be in a state of very deep trance, almost like death. His consciousness was totally suspended in trance, and there was only a very small glimmer of breath coming from his nostril. Therefore, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had the body of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taken to his home. After his body was taken to his home, then the other devotees who had originally been with Lord Chaitanya arrived in the temple of Lord Jagannath. And they immediately inquired, "Where is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?" They asked everyone, "Did you see a very tall, handsome sannyasi? Did you notice him anywhere? You must have seen him. Where did he go? What happened to him? He's supposed to be here." So they inquired, and then they heard that Mahaprabhu had indeed come to the temple, but he had fallen unconscious, and they had taken his body to the home of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So the devotees then went to that home. They met with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and they explained the nature of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That he is in ecstasy of love of the Lord. And when we chant the holy names, then he will be revived. So all the devotees began to loudly chant the holy name. Right? You can all chant. Right, so everyone, you know, they chanted loudly, and Mahaprabhu, then gradually his consciousness came back. His consciousness was revived, and all the devotees were rejoicing to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya then inquired about who is this Chaitanya, that he is a sannyasi, and he has taken sannyas in the line of Shankaracharya. But why is it he has still got a brahmachari name? If he has taken sannyas, he should have taken the sannyasi name. His sannyasi guru was Keshava Bharati. So he should have been, actually his name should have been Bharati, Sri Krishna. Instead of Sri Krishna Chaitanya, his name should have been Sri Krishna Bharati. But he had kept his brahmachari name as Sri Krishna Chaitanya. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was thinking that he is indeed a very nice sannyasi. He's very young. It will be difficult for him to maintain the vows of sannyas, taking sannyas at such an early age. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, at this point in his time in Jagannath Puri, was engaged in teaching the philosophy of Vedanta to the other sannyasis who lived there in Jagannath Puri. Jagannath Puri, of course, is one of the four seats of Shankaracharya. Shankaracharya established the mat in Badrik Ashram, in Dwarka, in Sringiri, and also in Puri. So there were many Mayavadi sannyasis there, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was teaching them the philosophy of Vedanta. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was the greatest scholar of his time. He was very learned in the philosophy of nyaya, logic. And he used to teach it to many people. His books were very well known. He was generally regarded to be the greatest scholar in India at that time. So he thought, I can reinitiate this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and give him a better name and give him a better position in the community of Mayavadi, of Shankaracharya sannyasis. But he thought, first of all, I think I can teach him the philosophy of Vedanta. Actually, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had also one brother-in-law named Gopinath Acharya. And Gopinath Acharya was a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He understood that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is actually the Lord himself. And when he told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya this, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, "That is not possible." He said, in Kali Yuga, there is no incarnation of the Lord. The Lord is known as Tri Yuga. Tri Yuga meaning that he does not come in the Kali Yuga. Generally, there is no incarnation of the Lord in Kali Yuga. However, Gopinathacharya corrected him and told him that is not true. In every age, there is an incarnation of the Lord. Sambhavami yuge yuge. The Lord comes in every age. He does not come as a Lila avatar, but he will come as Yuga avatar. So, in this way, Gopinathacharya was correcting Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And he told him that when the Lord is merciful to you, then he will reveal himself to you. Without the mercy of the Lord or his devotees, then you will not be able to understand the position of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, however, had made up his mind that he would teach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Vedanta. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was not eager to accept, but he could not get out of it. He was obliged, because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was an elderly person on the same age as his father, and he was of such a high position and so respected that if he would reject, if he would not accept the offer, it would be offensive. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to sit and listen to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya explain Vedanta. And he sat for 7 days. And for 7 days, he did not speak. He just simply listened to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya explain Vedanta philosophy. After 7 days, then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became concerned that, why you're not asking any questions? I am speaking so many things to you. There must be something that you want to inquire about. Is everything clear or is nothing clear? You have not asked anything. You're just simply sitting there. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mildly replied that, yes, that what you are explaining, it is all very covered and confusing. But I have already myself understood the Vedanta in the direct meaning. You are explaining indirect conclusions. You are explaining everything according to your speculative nature. But I have understood the Vedanta simply by taking the direct meaning, by understanding everything as it is presented. Just as many people comment on Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada says, they write Bhagavad Gita as they think it should be, or as they want to make it. But Prabhupada presented Bhagavad Gita as it is. He took the direct meaning of the Bhagavad Gita. And because he presented the direct meaning of the scriptures, therefore, so many people became devotees of Krishna all over the planet. When the teachings are presented directly, then the message of Godhead, the message of the Supreme Lord, has full potency. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed out the defects to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He explained to him the direct conclusions of Vedanta Sutra. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya had never before heard so many clear and expert explanations of Vedanta Sutra. He was indeed shocked to hear such a young man in an early stage of life with such a high understanding and realization, the philosophy of Vedanta. So then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya requested Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to explain the Atmarama Sloka from Srimad Bhagavatam. Atmarama Sloka in Srimad Bhagavatam is a famous verse which describes the nature of the Atmarama souls. Atmarama, one who is Atmarama, one who takes pleasure in the self or in the soul. Atmaramascha munayo nirgranta apirukrami kurvanti ahaitakim bhaktim itam bhuta guno hari. This verse is describing that even those who have achieved the stage of Atmarama, liberation from the material body, that they are also attracted to hear the topics and to take part in the activities of service to Krishna. Therefore, the activities of Krishna and hearing topics of Krishna are not material. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that, first of all, you please explain the verse to me. So then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya began to explain, and he explained the meaning of each and every word, explaining it in 11 different ways. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after hearing, congratulated him and said, very nice, yes, you have explained very nice. So then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to explain. And Mahaprabhu went on to explain it in 64 different ways. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was completely astounded that such a young man, that his knowledge is so deep. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his explanation, did not even touch on any one of the explanations which were given by Bhattacharya. And in this way, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya understood that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was no ordinary person. Yeah, here's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entering the temple in Puri, is collapsing after seeing the deities. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed this very form. You can see this form. This is called Satbhuj. There are six arms. You can see two arms are blue color playing the flute, representing two arms of Lord Krishna. Then two arms are green color, holding the bow and arrow, representing Lord Ramachandra. And then the two other arms are carrying the symbols of the sannyasi, the kamandalu and the danda, representing Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed this form to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya to show him that he is non-different from Lord Krishna and Lord Rama. And now he has come in the form of a sannyasi. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, seeing this form, then he was totally overwhelmed and devotion for the Lord awakened within him. In this way, he became a great devotee. He inquired from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that of the different types of devotional service, what is the most important? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, of all the types of devotional service, the most important is the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, becoming a devotee, he composed many verses glorifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He composed 100 verses, 108 verses glorifying Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And some of the verses especially became very famous among all the followers and devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga Shiksharka Eka Purusha Purana Shri Krishna Chaitanya Sharera Dari Kripambudir Yastvam Aham Prapadye. This is one of the nice verses composed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It glorifies the mission of Lord Chaitanya. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is an ocean of mercy, and he has appeared to deliver the fallen souls. He has come to teach us vairagya, detachment from anything which does not foster Krishna consciousness, and to give us also vidya, transcendental knowledge of the Lord and our relationship with him. And in this way, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya offered his respects to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who has appeared in the golden color, in this golden form. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became such a nice devotee that he did not even like to hear the word mukti anymore. Generally, for an impersonalist, the goal of life is mukti. They want, of course, sayujya mukti, impersonal liberation, becoming one with the Supreme. But this very word became disgusting to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And on one occasion, he was reciting a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and he changed one of the words. Tate nukampam susamikshamana punjana evatma krikam vibhati tigvagvapu virvadadan namaste jiveta yo. It's supposed to be mukti pade sadayabhak, and he changed it to bhakti pade sadayabhak. So everyone said to him, it's not bhakti pade sadayabhak, it's mukti pade. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, no, I don't like mukti. It can't be mukti. Mukti is not good. It should be bhakti. So the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then pointed out to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya that nothing is wrong with the word mukti. He said mukti also indicates Lord Krishna. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave two reasons. He said mukti means one who, liberation, and Krishna is known as Mukunda, one who gives mukti. So from the word mukti we can understand also Lord Krishna, who is known as Mukunda. And then he gave another reason. He said that the subject matter of the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is mukti. The tenth canto is the subject matter is the Samambonam. The Samambonam is Lord Sri Krishna, none other than Lord Krishna. So mukti pade means the tenth canto. The ninth canto is mukti, and mukti pade sadayabhak is the tenth canto, Lord Krishna. And in this way, Mahaprabhu explained how mukti also indicates Lord Sri Krishna. However, everyone was very happy to see what a big change had come in the mind of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. That before he'd been such a big impersonalist, such a staunch Mayavadi, attached to his own speculations. But now he did not even like to hear the word mukti. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was instructing him that you cannot change the scriptures. They are the words of Vyasadeva and they are perfect. And we should accept them as being absolute. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after converting Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya into a devotee, then decided he wanted to proceed to South India and visit many holy places. He pointed out that there will be better reception for the message of Lord Krishna among the people of South India. We should go where the field is better, just as Prabhupada was trying to preach in India for many years, he did not get response. So he understood, I have to go some other place to try to preach, where I'll get better response. So this is why Prabhupada went to the West. He could have stayed in India, but he was not getting success. So he did not give up, but he went some other place. Similarly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided, let me go to the south, where people will have more interest in this message of bhakti. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya at that time told him that when you go south, there is a great devotee who you must meet. And this devotee is very expert in knowledge of all transcendental mellows. Of course, at this time, the kingdom of Utkal, as Orissa was known at that time, was very large and it extended all the way down almost to Chennai. So the king of Orissa had appointed some of his governors in different places. And one of the assistants, one of the governors of the king of Puri, was known by the name Ramananda Rai. And he had been sent towards the south to a place of Rajamundry, near Rajamundry, on the banks of the Godavari River. Here is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with his devotees. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in Puri, his main activities were Sankirtan, congregational chanting of the holy name. Mahaprabhu only discussed philosophy with a few people: Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Rupa and Sanatan, Ramananda Rai, Swarup Damodar. But generally, his activity was this congregational chanting, and he encouraged everyone to chant the holy name. Sometimes, when Lord Jagannath was sick, then Lord Chaitanya would go to the place of Alanath, and there he would take shelter of the deity in Alanath. Okay, there is Chaitanya. Here is the river Godavari. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came down to Rajamundry and he was taking his bath in the river Godavari. And while he was bathing there, at that time, a great procession also came. The procession included elephants and different pundits, all reciting hymns. And the procession was led by this governor, Ramananda Rai, who had come there himself also to take his bath. So when Ramananda Rai came there with his entourage, he was surprised to see the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also bathing in the banks of the holy waters. Ramananda Rai came over to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to offer his respects. Remember, these two personalities were unknown to each other. Only Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had heard the name from Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. However, when they met, both personalities awakened ecstatic symptoms within their body, and they began to embrace each other. The brahmanas, the smarter brahmanas and pandits who were accompanying Ramananda Rai in his entourage, were all surprised to see their behavior. They considered that Ramananda Rai is usually a grave person, and we know that he is very learned, like a Mahapandit. Yet he has become like a sentimentalist. And we know also that Ramananda Rai is a Grihastha, and he is actually born of a low community on the level of Sudra. Yet he is embracing this person who is a sannyasi, he's a sannyasi in the Mayavadi order, so he must be a Brahmin by birth. How is it two persons can be embracing each other like this? And they are experiencing transcendental ecstasy. Actually, transcendental ecstasy was there because Ramananda Rai is none different from the gopi Vishakha. And Vishakha is the intimate servant in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we say Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nahi Anya. that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the combined form of Radha and Krishna. And when he was united with Ramananda Roy, it was like Vishakha meeting with Radha and Krishna. So it was certainly an occasion for ecstasy. But this ecstasy could not be understood by mundane people or people on the material platform. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore requested Ramananda Rai that you come back alone in the evening. Don't bring all of your entourage with you. Just come with one servant and we will meet together and discuss topics of Krishna. When Ramananda Rai came there, then the talks between him and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were very, very significant. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, remember, was a sannyasi in the renounced order of life. And Ramananda Rai was a grihastha from the Sudra community. However, when they met, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately began to put questions to Ramananda Rai. We would have expected it was the position of Ramananda Rai to question Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But instead, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put a question to Ramananda Rai. And he requested him, please quote some verse from the scriptures about the highest goal of life, the ultimate goal of life. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put his question, Ramananda Rai immediately replied, Varnashram acharapara purushena parapaman. That the goal of life is to execute Varnashram. This is described in Padmar Purana. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, that is external. Go higher. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected this because Varnashram, just simply following Varnashram, is not possible in Kali Yuga. You cannot progress in Kali Yuga simply by following Varnashram. One may execute the duties of a particular order, varna or ashram, but it will not help one to make spiritual progress. It will help us simply to organize our material life. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, therefore, rejected this proposal and said, go higher. After Varnashram, Ramananda Rai then suggested Karmarpana, offering the results of one's work for the pleasure of the Lord. This is described in Bhagavad Gita. Yat karoshi yajasnasi yajjahosi dadasi yat tapasyas tukuntiya tat kurushva mat arpanam. All that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, then do them as an offering for me. So this is mentioned in Bhagavad Gita. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also rejected this, that if you simply offer the results of your work, that is also not the highest goal. The problem being that one may offer the results of one's work, but one may still keep an impersonal conception of God. We may think I'm offering everything to Krishna, but Krishna is a Brahman. Krishna is just another form of the Brahman, and all the other gods are also Brahman, and I'm also one with the Brahman. And I'm simply detaching myself from the results of the work. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore rejected this proposal also. Then he requested Ramananda Rai go higher. Then Ramananda Rai suggested Swadharma Tyag, giving up one's duties, constitutional duties, occupational duties. This is also described in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dharmam Parigyajna Mamikam Sharanam Braja. Krishna says, surrender to me, give up all forms of religion, take shelter of me, I will protect you. We generally think this is the conclusion. Certainly it's the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. However, when Ramananda Rai met with Lord Chaitanya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also rejected this proposal, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described that one may surrender to Krishna, but he may surrender for material motives. His motive is not to please Krishna. He's simply running away from responsibility. Sometimes think becoming a devotee means I won't have to work. I can simply eat and sleep in the temple. One man in Hong Kong, one man came to Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, I want to take sannyas. Prabhupada said, why? He said, I have a wife and 4 children, and it's so much trouble. And so, of course, Prabhupada didn't give him sannyas. But that's a tendency that people think, you know, let me get away from my responsibilities, I'll surrender to Krishna. But Swadharma Tyag is meant for taking more responsibility, not for giving up responsibility. Therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected this proposal because people may misinterpret this instruction. Then the next conclusion of Ramananda Rai, the next suggestion was Jnana Mishra Bhakti. Jnana Mishra Bhakti is also described in Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochakti Nakanchati Samasarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. So again, this is not pure devotional service, but this conclusion is mixed with speculative understandings, that one may still think oneself to be one with the Supreme. There's no actual indication of any engagement in the service of the Lord. One may simply become fixed on the idea of being liberated and not engage oneself in any actual activity. So it is not an acceptable conclusion for pure bhakti. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to the conclusion of this topic by suggesting pure devotional service, as it was described in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam in a prayer by Lord Brahma. Yane prayasam udapashya namanta eva jivanti san mukaritam bhavadiya vartam stane stita shruti gatam tanvan manobir ye prayaso jita jitopi asitais trilokyam. The verse says that one should remain in whatever position one is in. Stane stita. This is important. In the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is not necessary that one has to take sannyas. In other paths, for example, if one follows Shankaracharya, you should become a sannyasi to liberate yourself from the world. But in the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that is not required. As Lord Brahma says, remain in your position. Stay in whichever order or ashram you are in, and simply engage in hearing topics of Krishna in the association of devotees. At the same time, give up all attempts to acquire fruitive benefit or philosophical speculation. And in this way, then you can conquer Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna is described as Jita, but Jita Jitopi Asitais Trilokyam, that Lord Krishna becomes conquered by that devotee who remains hearing topics of Lord Krishna through devotees and gives up all attempts for fruitive benefit or philosophical speculation. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this verse, then he said to Ramananda Rai, yes, this is correct. Now, from this point, go on and explain more on this matter, that this is the conclusion of all revealed scriptures. So in this way, Ramananda Rai and Lord Chaitanya went on to go deep, deep into the subject matter of rasa and the different mellows of loving relationships with Krishna, and they came also to the highest perfection of loving relationship in the dealings between Lord Krishna and his gopis, and then finally the loving exchange between Srimati Radharani and Lord Sri Krishna. And Ramananda Roy explained all of these things from his own mouth. But Ramananda Roy said that I am simply an instrument, that you are speaking through me. Ramananda Roy understood that I don't know these things myself. I have never spoken them before. But it is only you who is, you are asking me, and at the same time you are speaking through me. I am simply the instrument in your service. So it's very significant that Ramananda Roy was giving the teachings to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu always stressed that the qualification to give spiritual knowledge does not depend on one's ashram or one's social position. He said, kiba vipra kiba nasi sudra keni nai ye krishna tadvavit se guru hai. That even you may be a vipra, a learned brahman, or a sannyasi, or a sudra, whatever position you're in society, that is not important. What is important is that you should know Krishna Tattva. You should know the science of Krishna. And anyone who knows the science of Krishna, then they are qualified to become the teacher, the spiritual teacher, and to guide others. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed this verse by his own practical application, listening to all the words from the mouth of Ramananda Rai. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy to hear all of these conclusive statements from Ramananda Rai, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu revealed himself to Ramananda Rai. You can see Ramananda Rai sitting there in the fine clothes, because he was a governor with a very big position under the king of Puri, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in his dress of sannyasi, and he reveals himself as being non-different from Radha and Krishna. Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna Nahi Anya. This form was revealed to Ramananda Rai. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu requested Ramananda Rai that your association is so wonderful that I never want to give it up. He requested Ramananda Rai, you kindly retire from your government service and come back and live with me in Jagannath Puri, and together we can discuss topics of Krishna. And Ramananda Rai also agreed. He returned to Puri and he told the king, I want to retire. And the king, because the king was a devotee and he understood that Ramananda Rai was retiring so that he could always associate with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then the king arranged that Ramananda Rai would receive full salary also. So he was able to live in Jagannath Puri, and he was one of the intimate associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As we said, Ramananda Rai was a gopi Vishakha, and the other intimate associate of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Swarup Damodara Goswami. Swarup Damodara Goswami was the gopi Lalita in Krishna Leela. So, just as Lalita and Vishakha are the two intimate associates of Radha and Krishna, Swarup Damodar Goswami and Ramananda Rai were the intimate associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then left Ramananda Rai and continued his tour of South India. Here we see the river Kaveri, one of the holy rivers. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited also Tirupati and Tirumala and saw Lord Balaji, took darshan there, Lord Venkateshwar, and then came to Ranganath to see Lord Rangana in Trichy. Here we see Lord Ranganath. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived in Ranganath at the time of Chaturmasya. At that time, he was approached by one of the priests who was engaged in the service of Lord Ranganath. And this priest requested Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that since Chaturmasya has now begun, you kindly stay with us for the 4 months and give us your association. We can discuss the scriptures together. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu agreed. And he remained at the home of Venkatabhata. Venkatabhata, the name of the Brahmana. And he was living there for some time. Every day they would come to see Lord Ranganath. And during this time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the opportunity to discuss the difference between the Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy and the philosophy of the Sri Vaishnavas. The Ranganath temple, of course, is under the care of the Sri Vaishnavas. It is a temple of Ramanuj Acharya. He was a prominent Acharya in the line of Sri Vaishnavas. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu questioned Venkatabhata that you worship Lord Narayan along with his consort Lakshmi. Now it is the duty of a wife to be chaste to her husband. So why is it that if Lakshmi is chaste, why is she going to try to get Lord Krishna? So Venkatabhata, when he heard this question, he said, "Oh, don't joke with me. Why are you teasing me like this? You know as well as I do that Lord Krishna and Lord Vishnu or Lord Narayan, they're one and the same. There's no difference. If she goes to Krishna or if she goes to Lord Narayan, what is the harm? They're her husband." So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Yes, that may be. But if Krishna is her husband, then why was she not able to achieve Lord Krishna's shelter in Vrindavan? Lakshmi had gone to Vrindavan to do penances and austerities. The purpose of her penance and austerities was that she could also dance in Rasa Leela with Lord Krishna. Why did she not achieve that position? If she's the Lord's wife, why did she not get the opportunity to also dance with him in the Rasa Leela?" So this was quite a concern for Venkatabhata. He had never quite understood this before. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went on to explain how generally, we see Lakshmi, her hands are open. She's giving blessings. You know, if we see the pictures, the portraits or deity of Lakshmi, her hands are open and she's giving blessing. But in Vrindavan, if you see the form of Lakshmi, she's like this. She's praying. She's praying to the Brijbasis to bless her. Why is she praying? Because she wants the blessings of the Brijbasis, that she can also become a gopi and dance with Lord Krishna in Rasa Leela. But she could not achieve it. Why not? Because she's Lakshmi. She's the goddess of fortune. She cannot give up her queenly opulence and become a gopi. She cannot just change herself like that. Just like if any of us, you know, if you're accustomed to live in the city, can you go and live in the countryside? It's very difficult for you to go and live in the small countryside place. Because we're all familiar with city life. But we're not able to live in the countryside or in the village. So, Lakshmi also, in order to become a gopi, she cannot do it. She cannot give up her queenly position. The Vedas personified, they also wanted to dance Rasalila. They gave up their bodies and then they took birth as gopis. Lord Shiva also wanted to dance Rasalila. Lord Shiva took a bath and took the form of a gopi. There's the form Gopeshwara in Vrindavan. Lord Shiva also becomes a gopi. But Lakshmi, she was not able to give up her queenly position, her queenly opulences. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu explained this fact to the Sri Vaishnavas, that the supreme position of the gopis of Vrindavan cannot be achieved even by the goddess of fortune, Mother Lakshmi. Such is the exalted position of the gopis of Vrindavan. Here we see Mother Lakshmi serving Lord Vishnu, and here we see Lord Krishna dancing Rasalila with his gopis. And this is the ultimate, highest spiritual perfection. But it is achieved only by taking this mood of complete surrender to the Lord to become the gopi. Okay, when Lord Chaitanya was living in Trichy, I said he was going every day to the temple, and he saw that when he visited the temple, one man was reading Bhagavad Gita. When he was reading Bhagavad Gita, other people were laughing at him. Other people were laughing at him because the man could not read Bhagavad Gita properly. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, however, noticed that when the Brahmana was reading Bhagavad Gita, his eyes were wet with tears. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, after seeing him every day read the Bhagavad Gita, he came and inquired from him, that, "My dear Brahmana, what are you doing? Every day I see you reading Bhagavad Gita." The Brahmana replied that, "My guru told me every day I must read Bhagavad Gita." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu congratulated him. He said, "Very good. You have full faith in the instruction of your guru. Yasya deve parabhakti tata deve tata guru. Tashyaiti prakitahi harta prakashanti mahatmana." If you have faith, equal faith in the instructions of God and Guru, then you will understand all the purports of the scriptures. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, however, it went on to inquire that you are following the orders of your Guru, but why are you crying when you read Bhagavad Gita? So then the man replied, he said, "I am crying because whenever I read Bhagavad Gita and I think of Lord Krishna, how he is so merciful to become the chariot driver of his devotee, then it fills me with tears. I cannot stop shedding tears, thinking that the Lord loves his devotee so much that he is willing to become the chariot driver. He is the servant of his devotees." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he heard these words, then he embraced that Brahmana and he told him, "You are the actual reader of Bhagavad Gita. Although you are not able to read the Bhagavad Gita very well, although your pronunciation is not correct, but you have actually understood the true mood of Bhagavad Gita and you have realized all the conclusions of Bhagavad Gita." Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then spent some time with that Brahmana and instructed him in how to recite nicely the different verses of Bhagavad Gita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then traveled to different places, visiting different personalities, including Lord Shiva, met some Ram Bhaktas, he went to Rameshwaram, he went to this temple, Adikeshava temple, where they worship the deity of Perumal. And at this temple of Adikeshava, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discovered a very important scripture, which is called Brahma Samhita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu immediately had this scripture copied and he brought it back to Jagannath Puri. When he returned to Jagannath Puri, he gave copies of this Brahma Samhita to all the devotees like Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar and all the other important devotees. And he told them that the conclusions of this book, Brahma Samhita, are exactly in line with the Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's a very important book. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally discovered it and brought it back to Jagannath Puri and put it in the hands of the devotees. Brahma Samhita. We are playing, of course, two verses every morning when we greet the deities. Govindam Adipursam Tamaham Bhajami. Lord Brahma prays to worship Govinda. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discovered that book there in this temple of Adikeshava. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu moved on to Udupi. In Udupi, of course, it is the seat of Madhva Acharya. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken initiation in this line of Madhva Acharya. He had taken his initiation from Ishwarapuri. His initial initiation, while still in the household order, his initiation into the chanting of the holy name came from Ishwarapuri. Ishwarapuri was a disciple of Madhavendrapuri. And Madhavendrapuri was in the line of Madhva Acharya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chose to take his initiation in this same line of disciplic succession. Here is a temple, Udupi Krishna temple, and then the deity of Lord Udupi Krishna, very famous deity, which was given to us by Madhvacharya himself. So Madhvacharya had established his seat there in Udupi, that his followers in the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were known as the Tattvavadis. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took the opportunity to discuss with them philosophy. He discussed with them about the importance of deity worship. He saw actually that their deity worship was very perfect. And he greatly appreciated their worship of the deity of Lord Krishna. However, when he discussed philosophy with them, he found that within their understanding, they were strongly attached to both the desire for fruitive activity and also liberation. They were not centered on the focus of pure devotional service to Lord Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, however, accepted initiation in their line simply on the basis that they had worshipped, they had shown the perfect example in the worship of Lord Krishna. And worshipping the deity nicely was very satisfying to the mind of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Here is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu engaging in his chanting and dancing. After visiting Udupi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went on to visit other places up in Maharashtra, and then gradually he came back to Jagannath Puri to engage in his Sankirtan. Here are just a few pictures from the last year's Rath Yatra in Jagannath Puri. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, of course, every year would take part in the Rath Yatra along with his devotees. The figure in white is the present king of Puri, who continues to perform the functions. During the Rath Yatra ceremony, he performs all the functions just as Maharaj Prataparudra did and just as Maharaj Indradumna did in the past. So the present king of Puri, you can see he has one broom in his hand. He's holding a broom for sweeping. Sometimes this creates problems. There's a story goes that 500 years ago, even before the time of Maharaj Prataparudra, in fact the father of Maharaj Prataparudra, a marriage was being arranged for him with the daughter of the king of Trichy. Now the king of Trichy sent his minister to Puri to make sure the arrangements for the marriage were all right. However, the minister from Trichy came and attended the Rath Yatra, and he saw that the king of Puri comes to the Rath Yatra and sweeps. So he was shocked that a king could sweep, and he went back to Trichy and he told the king of Trichy that you're arranging your daughter to marry a sweeper. The king of Puri sweeps. I don't think he's fit to be a husband for your daughter. So the king of Trichy then sent a message to the king of Puri insulting him, that I've heard you're a sweeper. You're not fit to marry my daughter. The marriage is off. So then when the king of Puri got that message, then he came with an army to fight against the king of Trichy. And there was a big fight, big battle. Now the king of Puri, surprisingly, actually he lost the battle. But then he understood the reason why he'd lost was that in his anger, he had not gone to see Lord Jagannath and taken the blessings of Lord Jagannath. So he came back and worshipped Lord Jagannath. And Lord Jagannath told him, don't worry. He said, you go and fight again. And I'm coming with you as well as Lord Balaram. And both of us will come. You don't have to worry. We're also coming and we will help you. And certainly you will win, be victorious. The king of Trichy was actually threatening that he was going to put his Ganesh to take... Ganesh is the real Lord, not Lord Jagannath. The king of Trichy was a worshipper of Ganesh. And he was saying that actually Ganesh is the supreme, not your Jagannath. And we will install Ganesh in Puri instead of Jagannath. So the king of Puri again was making his second attempt, and he thought, this time Lord Jagannath and Lord Balaram have told me they're going to come. But he was wondering, will they really come? Do you think they're really going to come? On the way, he stopped at one village to get some refreshments for his army. And when he stopped at that village, he was approached by a woman. A young woman came to him and said that, two of your soldiers came to me and they took food and everything from me. They said you would pay. So he said, who were these two soldiers? She said, one was black color, the other was a white color. The king said, how do I know you're telling the truth? She said, well, they gave me these ornaments and they told me to show you them because you would recognize them and who they belong to. And when the lady showed these ornaments, she showed the ornaments of Lord Jagannath to the king of Puri. So the king immediately, he understood that definitely Lord Jagannath and Lord Balaram are coming with me. Certainly we're going to win this battle. The king went on with his army and they conquered the king of Trichy. They took his deity of Ganesh and brought it to Puri to be the servant of Lord Jagannath. And then they also brought the king's daughter as a captive. And the king of Puri said, take this girl and have her married to a sweeper. find some sweeper for her to marry. So the girl was taken by a minister and put in the care of some minister, one of the king of Puri's ministers. Then, after some time, it came time for Rathi Atra. And at the time of Rathi Atra, the king came to sweep the chariot and to do his sweeping duties. At that time, the minister came and brought the daughter of the king of Trichy and said, "King, you are the right sweeper to marry this girl." So in this way, the family, the daughter of from Trichy was married to the king of Puri, and their child became Maharaj Prataparudra, who was a great devotee, who was able to associate and personally serve Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, so here we see Subhadra Maharani being carried by the Sevites here for the service of Rathiatra, for the Rathiatra function. Here you see something of the crowd of people. I hear you have a big Rathiatra here in Hyderabad. Maybe not quite as big as this. Would take some time. Yeah. Anyway, this is Jagannath Puri, special place. Okay. Some of the dancers, people climbing on the chariot, going to see. And here's Lord Jagannath. Jagannath Swami ki.
Jai!
Okay, so we will stop now. I think you've heard enough. We can, yeah? Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Jai.
Hare Krishna.
His Holiness Bhakti Vignavinaskar Narasimha Maharaj ki jai.
Jai.